This is a Collider.com audio interview.
Oh, it's so great to be back on this set. I guess my first question is, this is an unusual choice, or seems like it might be an unusual choice for you.
Right.
Maybe not. We wanted to ask about that.
Well, I mean, all my friends are doing it. You know, when I came up, I remember the original Superman, and Brando was in it. And I thought, wow, these things must be getting legit. I was already, I guess, fairly opinionated when I was 7. So, I don't know. I mean, I'm kind of like a nerd about this stuff, you know, and I think there's been this onslaught, obviously, of these, this genre film, but I felt this one was different enough to accommodate whatever snobbery might be unleashed on me by my peers, friends, or just, you know, it's like my buddies, man. You want to do stuff, they say, you doing what, man? Shaggy Dog? We broke again? No, one's given me any guff about Iron Man, and it's funny too, it's like it's a particular kind of fan likes it, or it's like really smart, highly educated entertainment lawyers like pulling me aside at a party and going, I don't even want to see this, but dude, Tony Stark, man, do you know there's been the Mandarin? And they like, you know, the tie gets loose and they start just geeking out, and it's great, you know.
Can you talk about the bruises and cuts?
I can. He goes through a lot. I don't know what I can really talk about or not.
You can talk about anything.
Yeah.
We are under embargo. We're not posting this, by the way.
Really?
We're under embargo for a few months.
You should trust us, because we know what you can talk about.
That's part of Tony's problem. Well, I guess it's safe to say that he is in captivity for some time. And the fact that you've just seen a sequence where he's returning home and a lot has occurred means that obviously he figured out a way to escape. And I don't know much about these sorts of things, but I know that, you know, you can get pretty bruised up escaping.
So this is the first time
he's been back home. He's had a press conference, and he's talked to his partner in front of this kind of legacy energy device that he's in essence miniaturized, which is keeping him alive. But yeah, but he's, you know, he's back home, but I mean, back home, I mean, there's nothing just normal in this whole film. He's just back home. Did you see that pad? And he's not just back home, but he's home, and there isn't a big wait staff, and he doesn't have, you know, a gal on his arm, and the assistant's not around, so it's this very kind of like isolated opulence, which again, I think, like, I like the, there was this last round of Iron Man comics, the Extremis, and those very kind of graphic-y looking ones, and I remember in pre-production and stuff, like, you know, without wanting to be derivative, there's this very kind of specific design, you know, and that's what I like about anything. That's why I'm such a fan of like Matrix and stuff like that. And they're like, well, not 2 and 3. I'm like, yeah, if I love it, I love all of them. I'm like the boyfriend that like needs to, like, you know, like grow up, because if I love something and it impacts me, then I'm in till the wheels fall off, you know.
If you met Tony Stark on a street corner,
yeah,
what would you guys have to talk about? Would you find yourself relating?
Well, first of all, he'd be an imposter. So we'd probably throw down right there.
Nice.
You know, it's so funny too, because I think I'm old enough to have a pretty strong aesthetic distance, and I remember the days, if it was Lesson Zero or Chaplin, where I would just throw myself into this tizzy of prep or, you know, the dance of the roles for 16 hours or whatever. Or like it's the same makeup gal doing this, just did Less Than Zero, and she was like blowing menthol on my eyes and putting latex on my lips, and I was doing like push-ups for the scenes and my heart was racing, whatever. And I feel like as much as anything nowadays, it's not that we didn't, you know, it's not that we're like phoning it in. We really care and we really prepped it, you know, into practical oblivion. But I still say, well, you know, I still try to have some distance. So, but it's really almost even more narcissistic to be talking to some department head going, you know, I don't think Tony would, which is essentially saying what I want to do in my, like in the scene. But if there's ever been a character in the history of my career that I'd be happy to kind of meld with and associate myself with, you know, it's Tony Stark, because it's the coolest job I ever had, you know, and the history of it, and I got to meet Stan Lee. I took him to the Grill in Beverly Hills, and I did say, like, you know, what was the real origins of this? And he says, I kind of did it on a dare. For, you know, could you make a billionaire industrialist womanizing Keaton somehow through this vulnerability of his own? I'm sorry, this might be more fun. I wish they don't give me the pin. I mean, you know, that's the funny thing too, is it's like, yeah, we need to save the batter, but what if I want to walk around with a light on? No, we really got to save that for the camera. That's a little wide. It's tighter than you think. Yeah. Might not be young, but I'm resilient. So.
So you said, sir, you met up with Stan Lee.
With Stan Lee, and he said he did it on, you know, a dare to see, and also if you think about it, it's interesting, roughly 30 years ago in history and all that, but it was a time when there was a very strong anti-establishment, anti-military-industrial complex, anti-rich, over 30 energy. And so for him, it was just a huge challenge to see, well, and what was it? They said they got more female fan mail than for all of their other heroes combined, because there was this sense of him being very vulnerable and not knowing from day to day whether this very, you know, precarious device that keeps him alive and drives him, but is clearly a metaphor for something else. But sometimes it's not a metaphor, you know. If you've got a small tokamak reactor in your chest, that's the reason you're not dead. In the movie, how can that be a metaphor? It's like saying, this aqualung underwater, this reed I'm breathing through, you know.
Terrence told us the story of how they had to relight a scene because one of your improvisations to tell everyone to sit down. Were there any other times that you caused getting resets like that because of your ideas?
Well, first of all, as a martial artist, you want to be as efficient and effective and use as much linear striking as possible. Don't fight force with force. There's a lot of these concepts that everything's like everything else and for film. So I'm not like coming in and going, hey, this is all wrong, relight. But I'll come in and I'll say, given the time we have, we can probably get this many shots. And John has been very flexible and very fun, because we're very similar. I mean, Tony Stark is really, I don't know how this could come across, but it's really John and I are creating Tony. And through that, half the lines are his and half the ideas are mine. And then we've got all these just really great people at the top of their field who are either simultaneously exasperated with the fact that we're like vetting an idea. Or I just said there was this situation where I said, I come in every day and I say, I've seen this in a movie before, no offense. So, but if we do this, I haven't seen that. And some of them are so far out, they go, will you just go put on your chess piece and earn a living like everyone else? But more often than not, that's, if anything, I feel the onus and the responsibility to not, you know, venture into this genre without an understanding that it's actually inhabited and enjoyed, and me being amongst these people, by very apt, bright, perceptive, and oftentimes educated in the arts people. So just because it happens to have this two-dimensional aspect to it in its origins doesn't mean that it doesn't go deep and it shouldn't be an art form and it shouldn't... And people are just... I don't know. I just think audiences are continually underestimated. At the same time, I love Chud. Like, I can go see a pretty crappy movie and love it. If it's got a couple things that work, I'm like, I don't know. I'm like a soccer coach with, like, kids who probably, you know, shouldn't be playing soccer.
What was going through your mind in having the reporters in the press conference sit on the floor?
What was going through my mind was I walked in the room and everyone's standing up and I go, here we are, and that's going to be Mr. Ferris, and all that thing. And I was just like... Kitty, come in. He's also supposedly gone through this massive transformation. He's been humbled. He's seen things through new eyes. And I think even the people that he's interacting with were before, it's like, that's the press, and we do our sound bites, and we do our damage control, and we do our propaganda, and that's it. And I think he's starting to relate to seeing large groups of people as not an idealist, because I think he's too educated in the dark arts of... weapons manufacturing, and also his family and their legacy, to be a moron, or suddenly be, you know, like, you know, waving flowers and wanting to join hands and sing Kumbaya. But I think there's an equalization that occurs. Still, that is a little bit strange. That in a way, it's not like he raises his finger and he sees her, we wear the purple, and everyone sit down. I think it was just like, it was kind of making him nervous, and I thought it was a strange thing to do. And also later on, they're supposed to think maybe Tony's gone a little cuckoo, and I thought that would demonstrate. Even though that's not why he did it. It's that thing of miscommunication of intentions and ideas.
Can we talk about the wardrobe and getting into the suit?
Yes. I love Stan Winston and Shane and all the guys on his team. There are several stuntmen. Oakley, we call one of them. And Mike Justice and these guys, and they're kind of like, again, if John and I are Tony Stark, then it's me and those fellows, and my stuntman and my stand-in who wind up really being Iron Man, because it's just such a massive undertaking. And we had said it, the first we wanted to do as much of it practically as possible, which I like. I was coming into this, practically. It's English. I was like, cool. But it's tough. Really tough. And really great. Like, the first time you try on the suit, and you could, I swear to God, you could put the least macho superhero looking man or woman. Hi. Okay. If you want to cast your vote for that, I don't know. You might have some competition. In this suit, I swear to God, for 15 seconds, you'd believe any of them could, you know, destroy the nemesis and all this. So it really is the long game. It's about how do you not have a personality meltdown in like hour 7 when you kind of feel like you've been tarred and feathered and covered in machine parts. And it's like, here's the moment when the RT, and you're like, and you're calling up every therapeutic moment you've ever had with friends, family, and strangers, and every book you've ever read. It's like, you know. They're saying, hey, have you read The Secret? I'm like, I am living The Secret right now. I don't need any more information. I have the entire Bodhi tree between my ears. Nonetheless, I mean, what it really is like, that's like, you know, that's the thing. Is like, you know, and I'd come off doing Zodiac before this, and Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, which is a movie that I really loved a couple years before that, and Scanner Darkly. And all these films, it was really kind of about, like, character, and once in a while you got your finger cut off, or you know, you had a bad day, or you're wearing an ascot or something like that. So I'd really gotten used to these non-technically driven movies. And as much as we've been able to in this, we've tried to have it feel like if Bob Altman had directed Superman or something like that, you know.
How long does it take to get into it?
Right. Well, I like to say I'm the first person who's been able to relieve themselves while wearing the suit. It was precipitous. No, it wouldn't be great if that was the rest of the interview.
I just want to know how.
Yeah. There was a zipper, but the zipper was still covered by a hip piece that actually had a groin attached. Anyway, suffice to say, it was like that thing where you say, how did that guy escape from jail? And you go, well, he was thin. There's a lot of thin people in jail. But, yeah, that guy's head was just the right size, and he got out between the bars, and, you know.
I'm wearing the chest piece, like, right now.
Yeah.
Does it ever get normal, get frustrating wearing it sometimes?
Look, wearing a watch can be frustrating if you're not in the right headspace, you know. I mean, there was this time. There was a couple days ago where they'd said, you know, like, you've been through a lot, and this has been a really, like, grueling shoot. It's also been a really magical shoot because I shit you not, every day we've come in, and it reminds me of reading about Chaplin in the early days where he'd go in without an idea in his head. It's not like we don't have a script and one that we approve of and this and that, but you go and you say, how do we raise this to a level of something we want to see or something that addresses all the different elements of these kind of films? I'm actually starting to think that they're a really, really, really high order of art, because there are so many things that you have to professionally have gone through and understood and experienced to be able to not be overwhelmed by the fact that now in this scene you're going through something, but actually the boot is out and you're welding and also, and the phone rings and all this other stuff, and you have a relationship with your shop. This is kind of and why I'm so glad, and I'm actually really like comforted being here right now, is you ever feel like, you know, that summer in that place or in that apartment creatively, we did every single thing we could. You know, I wrote my best stuff. I was the most honest. I was the most disciplined. We had those, you know what I mean? Like, it was back when you used to say, I'm not just going to go out and eat again. I'm going to look at this fucking menu from this cookbook I've had for 5 years and like, actually try to make a pasta that doesn't suck. But really, number 6, 8 minutes, not 10 or 12. And we really came in and on this set in particular, because this is where so much of his work happens and creation of the Mark II suit and then beyond. What was the question? Thank you.
Chest
plate. Oh yeah. No, it's fine.
Can you go through what your training process has been like? What exactly you've done to get into the...
Well, you know, the funny thing is, I was at the... there's a museum. It's going to come to me. It's not the Mutra Museum, where all the babies are in formaldehyde. It's called the... All right, forget what I said, because if I can't represent it properly, then it's not responsible. There's some museum in Miami, and I'd got this little keychain, and it looked like Iron Man. This was like 6 months before I even knew there was a thing. And for the last 5 years or so, I've been doing... martial arts, and then when I got the part, they said, so, do you want to put on some... And, like, you know, I'm not, like, 28, or I'm not some guy who's, like, Daniel Craig, who's, like, already had, like, meat packed on his shoulders and then just, like, swole them up for that. I'm like, you've seen me in all the movies. I'm not, like, Mr. Buff Guy, and now I'm the over 40 crew. So it has literally been, like, this excruciating process of working out so hard and so often just to not look like a little pot-belly pig. And then there's a couple scenes where we finally got it together and I'm like banging on the thing and I go, Maddie, dude, you got it? He goes, no, I know what to do, man. I've done this. And they light it right, and then I'm like, ugh, I'm like Rubber Band Sam, and we do all this stuff. And I was like, gah! And I was like, wow, man, it's here. It looks great. You're really in shape. And 20 minutes later, brr. And, you know, yoga and eating right and all the supplements and sleeping right and all the other obvious stuff that is probably more important than working out and all that. Just you got to keep your head right. You know, it's so easy to get spun out, and you see people who have no challenges outside of, what is it, you know, like their Hollywood problems, come in and they regularly have meltdowns on sets, or they turn into a bitch, or they say and do things because they're under pressure, or because they think they're something they're not. I mean, it's really a trip to be, you know, number one on the call sheet and doing a movie like this, and it's always kind of an inside game, and I forget that occasionally, but I keep riding the ship and the toggle switch, you know, and it's that thing, you know, like life is 85% maintenance, and you realize at the end of a good day that you spent most of the day just making sure that, like, all that other people's energy and all your own mind talk wasn't ruining what had started off. Like, the day plans to be good, and then you come in there like, can we just try on the helmet? You know, you're like, can I just dot something in your eye? Can I just blow some sand in your eye right before the take? Why? I don't know. I think I'm the head of the blow sand in your eye department. John? Okay. And then there's the whole thing. I mean, I look at the comic books and the guys, like, you know, it's so hard. We did a photo shoot in here the other day, and it wound up going great, but, like, you see this picture of Tony Stark, who kind of looks like Tom Cruise, except more handsome and more buffed, and he's got the suit, and his hair's blowing in the wind, and it's curly, and they go, can we do a shot like that? And the hair lady's like, I don't can try to, and I was like, let's not go something about Mary here, let's just, like, you know, let's, like, this, I got this, you know, I don't know if we can. So it's been a lot of that, just, like, outside issues, like, you know, how you look in the suit, and, like, you know, you're tired, and you get this way back, or it's like, I'm not particularly tall, and I'm surrounded by giants, and I was like, this is really kind of weird. I'm not, like, walking around like Don Adams on boards or anything, but, you know, there are all these elements of what, when I see this movie, it's like, I want to be able to believe that this guy, that he's the guy.
Are there any, like, real-life playboys, like, from, like, Dean Martin, Sinatra guys like that you've drawn out for inspiration for this, for your take on Tony Stark?
Well, I'm sorry this might sound a little weird, but I'm not drawing on other things for him. It's like, I consider him to be a real entity for the most part. Like, that works for me. And then, you know, if you had the stimuli that I do day by day, I say that with whatever I learned in Theater Arts 101 of, you got plenty. Theater, no, please feel free. Of, again, having that aesthetic distance so that you actually know what you're doing. I mean, there's no sense in getting too caught up in something, but I come into work and there's, like, you know, hundreds of people around, and, like, without abusing the influence I have, it's like things are made very, like, you know, easy and available to me, and I see $100,000 cars and things and all this stuff that, regardless of how much, you know, dough I've made over the years, like, I've never, like, lived a day. I've never lived 4 seconds like this guy's lived every day. So it's been this really kind of, like, amazing experience to see what it would be like if you had unimaginable resources and you had this change of heart, and then you decided to pool those resources into something that became very kind of fetishistic and obsessive, but obsessive in a way that you kind of have to figure out as you go along what the moral psychology is of that. So I think it's a very human journey. But to continue not answering your question, I tended to actually go more into mythology and the real basis of mythology and how men and women are capable of, at a certain subtle level, of God-making, of making themselves godlike, of clearing themselves of these earthly things and locking into a purpose or some sort of divine idea, whether it seems dark at the time or not. It's like you can see through perception, and you have this, like, this heroic experience, you know? And I could say that about single mothers, I could say that about, you know, a variety of different type of folks that I've known growing up or whatever.
No, I apologize for bringing this up, but it sort of is a natural question given the nature of the character in the comics.
It's funny you're just sitting dead center and it's the last question. I really wasn't expecting this.
I hope you're not offended by that.
Yeah, give me all the fucking preambles. Just bring it, dude.
How much of that has anything to do with what you're doing with this role? Or does it? Or is it irrelevant?
Well, I mean, I think when someone has had a fundamental change and they're not just trying to backpedal and, like, make it seem like, I'm going to rehab again, everything's fine, I'm still clubbing tonight, but it doesn't matter, you know, or whatever. or whatever, or friends of peers of mine who are just in a different place in their own evolution. It's by the time you've seen the light, by the time you get out of Dodge and start doing the right thing, you really don't relate to the person that historically people still say, you know. But it's like that thing. It's like the guy says, you know, if you Google me, all you're ever going to see is that I was accused of raping those two kids on the boat or whatever. It's like, why am I Googling you anyway? My life has been ruined. That's a really nice headspace. So my thing is, what else is attractive is, yeah, Tony Stark is like, he's been known to go bonkers and be so irresponsible that he's like too hammered to put on the suit. And I was like, really? And they're like, yeah. And I thought all these times when it seemed like in the atmosphere that maybe there was another one of these, because, you know, it's like your superhero, the weak thing, and there's so many. And I was like, Green Hornet. No. Are you a Green Hornet? No. Or other different ones, or some of the other ones that have happened where, you know, the first thought would be like, oh, maybe you could play the bad guy in our movie like this. So I was like, the bad guy. Yeah, okay, right, bad guy. Yeah, I'm a bad guy. But the fact that Tony is so conflicted, and at certain points in the, I guess it was something like the later years, he's Demon in a Bottle and all that stuff, like, We chose. There's so much stuff going on in this movie as it is that we decided not to do like the Pirandello thing too. But I get it. I mean, that's why, in a way, it's ideally suited for me, and I'm ideally suited for it. You know.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you.
Really cool.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, Brian.
You can just leave these here. I might have some other thoughts later.
Any some retractions?
Any word with Poe and Sly?
No.
I'm
too big for Poe now.
I was going to ask about Kiss Kiss Bang Bang didn't hit in the theaters the way it should have. Critics loved it. It's a great movie. What's your reaction to the success? It's on HBO all the time, and everyone seems to be loving it now.
People love it, and the other thing was John had just seen Kiss Kiss Bang Bang before I came in for Iron Man. And so for me, in a way, it was like this great $12 million calling card for another cool job. Now, I'm not saying other people should have to put up the money for me to have a nice reel, but I mean, I just love it. I still watch it, because that would sound kind of weird.
It's a great film.
Thanks.
And I know you've
got it. That's Mrs. Downey.
I was just going to ask though, is it weird for you to be signed on or to be part of a possible trilogy as an actor?
Weird?
Yeah.
Hell no. It would be weird if it wasn't. I'd be like, how come I'm only? Yeah, we only going to need to do one of these for you.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
I bet I'll see y'all around.